You're listening to Atheistically Speaking.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 121 of Atheistically Speaking with your host Thomas Smith. This is part three of my first ever three-parter of an interview anyway. I mean, I guess you can, if you count, you know, Portable Atheist, but we're not counting the Portable Atheist. First ever three-parter, and the response has been really great to this one. I'm so glad I found Chris via Travis. And I'm so glad that he came on, and it's been so interesting. So now we get to hear, we've got three parts of the story. We had the history and a lot of the basics of Scientology, which was excellent, and it will be my go-to reference from now on. I'll just go check out that episode again if I, you know, forget what's going on with Scientology. And then we had how he got into the church and just, you know, became a member and, you know, got into the organization, all that. And now we get to find out how he left the church and how he dealt with that after so many years. So really excited for this conclusion. So I don't even want to hold it from you anymore. Let's get to it. Here we go. Here's part three with Chris Shelton. What eventually led to your leaving the church?
Well, what happened was the last 4 or 5 years that I was working for the church, I was traveling around the West U.S. a lot. Mm-hmm. I no longer worked in management. I was working on expanding the existing churches. And they had a new program going that was called Ideal Organizations, or the Ideal Orgs. And because orgs is the word they use for organizations. Nobody runs around in Scientology saying organization, organization, organization. They say org.
Yeah.
So they refer to their churches as orgs. They don't call them churches, which should tell you something.
Yeah.
They call them orgs. And so there's one in Minnesota. There's one in Denver. There's one in Albuquerque. There's one in Austin. You know, there's these various churches or organizations or orgs around the West U.S. And they had this new program, this international program going, where they were getting a lot of fundraising being done in order to buy new buildings, big buildings, for all of the orgs. And then they were going to renovate these buildings, again, through fundraising. And then they were going to open them to much fanfare. And it was sort of the idea was if you build it, they will come kind of philosophy, right? Because Scientology is not big and never has been. Hmm. And people who get into Scientology can want other people to get into it. It becomes this big thing, right? Let's get lots of people in here. And I want to see this place with lots of people in it. So the leader of the church, whose name is David Miscavige, decided that the way to do this would be to create ideal organizations or ideal orgs. Mm-hmm. And the way to do that is to get everybody to give a lot of money. And we're not going to pay for
this. They weren't already?
You guys are going to pay for this, right?
Man.
And so the church has literally billions of dollars in reserves.
I would imagine.
No, they do. Yeah. Over all the years, they've been sucking money out of people left, right, and center. But they can't pay for new buildings because, you know, hey, we don't have money for that. So they need to get all of the parishioners, all the members in all the different areas to fork over the money. And they spend a few years sucking this money up out of them through various fundraising efforts. And they get millions of dollars and they buy a building and they buy some great big monstrosity of a building that's way too big for how many people are involved. Like, for example, in Twin Cities in Minnesota, they bought a building that is 85,000 square feet.
Wow.
It's an old science museum. It's huge. It's this monstrosity of a building. And I can tell you right now, I spent 3.5 years in Minnesota working on this place. There are a total of 115 Scientologists in all of Minnesota, Wisconsin, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Ohio.
Wow.
So you have an 85,000 square foot building that they paid $4 million for and renovated for $12 million. They had to make those 115 people cough up that money over time to get that money. And then they renovated it, and then they opened it. And that church still has only 115 people in it.
What are they doing with all the space? Because, go-kart racing?
They just, it's empty. Nothing's happening in that building. It is unbelievable that this goes on and on and on, but it does. And that's, you know, the sad but unfortunate truth about this whole Ideal Org program is it was a way for the leader of the church to get a lot of money sucked up the line and buy these big buildings, open them up, make it look like Scientology is getting bigger because of all these big buildings. But you go to the buildings after the opening and they're empty. There's nothing happening in them.
Wow. So is that you started this with the question of how you ended up leaving the church. So
yeah,
was this
so I what, saw this happen. Okay. I saw this happen in Las Vegas, Orange County, Pasadena, Seattle, and Twin Cities. And I saw with my own two eyes, right? See, not a lot of Scientologists and Sea Organization members don't travel around like I did.
Yeah.
And so I saw org after org after org empty, have the big opening, lots of people show up, lots of fanfare. Then the next day, the place is empty again. And I went, you know, this isn't working. We're doing this and we're raising all this money and we're spending years, you know, beating these parishioners for all this money. And these orgs are not getting any bigger. Scientology is not getting any bigger. In fact, it's getting smaller. And yet the leader of the church keeps telling everybody that this is working and that things are getting better and that things are getting bigger and that we're getting more Scientologists because of this. And I could see for myself that he was lying through his teeth.
Right.
And I got sick and tired of that.
Yeah.
And I realized the day that, I'll tell you, the day that it hit me was the day I was walking around in Twin Cities and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I just realized that my daily existence consisted of telling more lies than it did truth.
Wow. Yeah.
And I went, you know, I'm done with this. That was the exact moment when I realized I couldn't continue to do what I was doing. I couldn't lie to myself anymore, and I couldn't lie to other people about it anymore.
How hard was that for you? I mean, was that must have been a big...
It was rough.
Yeah.
It was rough. And here's the real kicker, is I didn't even know a quarter of how bad it really was until I got out of the Sea Organization and I started getting out of Scientology as a whole after I left the Sea Organization in 2013. And I got on the internet and I started finding out things I had no idea about.
Jeez.
Because you're kept in a bubble world when you're in the Scientology, and especially when you're in the Sea Organization. You don't have access to the internet. You don't have access to critics of Scientology. You don't have access to the stories that people tell when they get out. And when I started finding out that information and I started finding out about what L. Ron Hubbard's life was really all about, and, you know, you find out that Dianetics went bankrupt in 1952, that's not something they talk about inside the church. Nobody knows that. They don't talk about it that way. They glorify Hubbard. They make it sound like he knew what he was doing every step of the way. They make it sound like he was totally in charge of everything from the word go. And they make it sound like he had some master plan and was practically this godlike figure. And you come to find when you get out that this guy was every other word the guy said.
What stops anyone from any current member from just Googling it? I mean, do they just not?
You get in trouble if you do that.
Or do they have control over your internet and everything?
No, they don't. They don't do that. They have control over your counseling. When you get counseled in Scientology, when you go in and get audited, you are forced to talk about every aspect of your life. So if you go on Google and you start looking up things about Scientology, eventually, if you're a good Scientologist, you're going to be in an auditing session and you're going to be telling your auditor all about it.
I see.
And once they find out you've been doing that sort of thing, they're going to sit you down and they're going to say, dude, that is not okay.
Wow.
You are going on the internet and you are reading a bunch of lies and you're reading about stuff about Scientology from people who are trying to influence you in a bad way. And what's the matter with you that you're even looking at the internet? Why are we, you know, why don't you believe us?
Yeah.
You know, don't you take our word for it? Don't you know that L. Ron Hubbard is, you know, the greatest guy who ever lived? And they start, you know, testing your Kool-Aid drinking, right?
Yeah.
And you have to pay for this, you know, so there's a lot of discouragement. But the number one control they have over you when you're in Scientology deep enough is their policy of disconnection. If you leave the church in such a way that you are disaffected or you start speaking out the way I have, you will be called a suppressive person. It's a label they give you. And basically it means that you're expelled, you're shunned.
This is a lot
similar
to Jehovah's Witnesses. Yeah, I was just going to say that's a major Jehovah's Witness I talked to, or ex. He's not quite out of it yet because of that reason. I mean, that must have been very difficult. And I want to ask you too, personally, how did you survive this? I mean, it's really hard to leave a religion already. It's even harder the deeper you are into it. It's really hard. There are, you know, there's the clergy project that for people who are in the clergy who are atheists essentially, or at least don't have their faith, but they stay in it because it's their livelihood. How did you manage that? What was your plan? That must have been so difficult.
I tried to keep my disaffection and my attitude and my true feelings to myself. Because when I got out of the church, I hooked up, you know, I had been married when I was in this organization. I got divorced when I left. My wife stayed in.
Oh, geez. You didn't even touch on that.
No, like I told you, there's so many details.
Yeah, no, there really is. Yeah, absolutely.
So I ended up leaving my wife over this, right? And I hooked up with a woman, and I went back to Minnesota, in fact. And I was there, and it was there that I started finding out, you know, I kind of went, what we call it going down the rabbit hole. When you go on the internet and you start finding out like what's really going on with Scientology.
Yeah.
And I went down that rabbit hole and I spent 2 months researching. I mean, it's not an easy thing to do and it takes a while because there's so much information to process. And I had some decisions to make. I didn't want to lose this woman that I was now connected with and her family and all the people that I knew there. So I was trying to deal with that. But at the same time, I was dealing with 25, 27 years of betrayal.
Yeah.
You know, because when you find out the truth, I was very, very upset. You know, I'd been used.
Understandably.
For,
yeah, of course.
Years, right?
Yeah.
So what happened with me is I started speaking out anonymously on the chat boards under a pseudonym. But what happened was, see, Scientology is an extremely paranoid organization and they do not deal with criticism well. And they monitor every one of those boards to see and try to figure out who's bad-mouthing them. They really do.
Yeah, no, I believe it.
And they figured out from what I was saying, they figured out who I was.
Well, I guess that's part of the not having very many members. I guess they can.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so they eventually around October or so, November, we ended up kind of having it out. And I still didn't want to get disconnected. I didn't want to get the whole shunning thing. And I really loved this woman and I really wanted to have a life with her. And she was a Scientologist, right? Mm. So, and I hadn't really had, I hadn't sat her down and gone over all of this with her. Because she worked at the local organization, her whole family was in, it was kind of a problem and I was kind of trying to build up to it, but I didn't do it. So bottom line is they sat me down and said, we know you've been posting on the internet and we know you're, you know, against us. And so, you know, what do you want to do about this? And I said, okay, well, I want to make good on it because I don't want to be disconnected. And so I'll do, they have a series of steps you can do to get back in good graces. And I started trying to do those steps, but they disconnected me anyway.
Wow. Why do you think they did that?
Because they're an evil, disgusting, horrible organization that doesn't care about the individual. And so they, and because her family, there in Twin Cities is one of the families that actually gives a lot of money to the church. Mm. Everything they do is money motivated.
Yeah, of course.
Everything. And if I hadn't been an important person and if I'd been connected with people who weren't important people, then they wouldn't have probably done that. But they did it because I was threatening their money supply.
I'm a little unclear just to make sure I'm following everything. So were you still working for them when you?
No. I left the Sea Organization.
So
I was
left
out of
the Sea Organization, but you were
but
still.
But when I left the Sea Organization, I still wanted to do Scientology.
Okay, I see.
You see, I still wanted to be part of it. I still believed in what Hubbard said. It wasn't until I got on the internet that I found out it was all a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
You see. Because right. I was a good Scientologist.
So what was the timing with that?
That stuff.
What was the timing with that? You left the Sea.
December 2012 is when I officially left the Sea Organization.
And what was your reason behind that again? I think I confused.
Well, I told you all the lies and everything, right?
I'm sorry. There's the misunderstanding. I had thought that was your leaving Scientology as a whole reasoning. So that was just why you left the Sea Organization.
That was why I left the Sea
but
Organization.
But you still bought into what L. Ron Hubbard said, but maybe you just thought like there, you know, the organization might have been a little corrupt or something, right? Or something like that. Okay, I'm with you now. And so then some more time elapsed, and you were still a member.
Yeah, I moved to Minnesota in January 2013, and they were kind of giving me a hard time because I was, you know, I'd been in the Sea Organization, and you know, they don't like it when anyway. There were just issues.
Sure.
And those issues made me start doubting the subject as a whole.
Okay.
And that's what drove me to the internet. So by about April or May of 2013, I had availed myself of this information and I was shocked.
Yeah.
I was just shocked. And I was trying to maintain this relationship and yet at the same time discovering all this truth about Scientology. And I was like, oh my God. And so then during that summer, I was still trying to make good with the church and still trying to be a good chicken, you know, so to speak. Uh-huh. But I had these feelings of betrayal and upset. And so I started posting anonymously.
Right. Okay.
And they found out about this in about August, September, or October, somewhere in there. And they confronted me on it. I tried to make good. And in December of 2013, they convinced my then fiance, the woman I was going to marry and have kids with, to disconnect from me. And she wouldn't talk to me. She wouldn't look at me. She wouldn't have a conversation with me. She just dumped me.
Wow.
And all the Scientologists that I had ever known, some of them I had known for decades, dropped me overnight. And I'm talking, you know, Facebook friends and relationships I'd had for many, many, many years. Suddenly, you know, sorry, dude, can't talk to you anymore. You know, handle your shit with the church. And that's their attitude about it, right?
Was there anyone who tried to hang on to the relationship? Was there anyone who didn't listen to the church? No, 100%. Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
So I lost it, and quite honestly, I was pretty ready for all that, and I didn't lose my family because, fortunately, and again, part of the bigger picture, bigger story, my parents had already left.
Oh, okay.
And they did not speak out publicly, so they didn't get in trouble. They just left quietly. And if you don't speak out publicly, the church doesn't really care.
Okay.
But if you start bad-mouthing them, then you're in trouble. And so I did not lose my parents over this. But I did lose all these family and friends. But the thing that hit me the hardest was losing the woman that I loved. Yeah. And that was rough. That was really rough. In fact, the bottom line is that I will never forgive the people who did that. And that's a major motivating force behind why I do what I do, because I don't want anybody else to ever have to experience something like that.
Absolutely.
It's horrifyingly evil. And there really isn't any other word for it, because it is done with malice aforethought. They don't do it because of religious conviction. They do it to hurt you because they don't like to be exposed.
They want to protect themselves.
Lying scumbags that they are. They're
I agree. I don't think that's simply rhetoric. I think you're right. I mean, that's very, very malicious behavior. It's very harmful behavior.
And, well, it is. And if it was,
it doesn't show any loyalty to the 28 years?
Yeah, 27 years.
27 years of slave labor.
I not only worked for that organization for the better part of my life, I recovered hundreds of people to Scientology.
Oh, man.
I got thousands of people up that bridge. I mean, I dedicated years. I lost years of my life to that organization. I was a true believer. None of that mattered the second that I started speaking out against it. Everything bad I ever did was magnified 1,000%, and every good thing I ever did meant absolutely nothing. And that's one of the reasons why I know that Scientology is a cult, because that's how cults act. And the number one threat that I was to them when I started speaking out was a threat to their money. And that's why I know that this organization cares about nothing except money. That was the other thing that drove me away from the organization to start with when I was running around working on the ideal orgs and stuff, as I saw firsthand how money motivated the organization is. All they cared about was not getting new members, not selling books, not servicing their parishioners. They just cared about getting money from everybody. And that's all we ever heard about. And I thought, what's all this with all this money? You know, I was never in it for the money. So all this money fixation, which just got worse and worse and worse as the years went by.
Do you have any indication of who's making that money? Like, what level do you have to get to where you're in on the scheme?
David Miscavige.
Just one guy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I know. It sounds crazy.
You don't think there's any intermediate level?
The guy lives the life of Saudi Arabian prince. Yeah. You know, I mean, everything he doesn't want for anything ever. And I mean, he's got houses and apartments all over the world. He's got whatever car he wants to drive. He flies around on his own jet. He's got the best clothes, the best food, the best people waiting on him 24/7. He could literally walk into any organization of Scientology. He could say, "I want you to empty your bank, your main checking account right now, and I want a check." And they would do it.
God,
they're that fanatical about this guy. It's crazy. And he doesn't even have to do that though, because he gets all the money sent up to him anyway. You know, and he lives high on the hog on the whole thing. And everybody else below him gets treated like utter dirt. And it's just the most bizarre thing you can imagine, you know, but that's what a cult is. And that's what Scientology is. And it puts on a glossy face and this pseudoscientific, you know, meter and these stupid Super Bowl commercials and stuff. And it's all just a bunch of crap. You know, in the end, it's a money-making scheme.
Do you have any insight and, you know, not being having much exposure to this in the past, I just know mainly the sort of the celebrity side of it. Do you have any insight into that? I mean, is it just why does it attract so many actors and that sort of thing?
Well,
I have guesses.
Really attract, well, OK, so here's the thing. One, it doesn't attract lots and lots of them. Okay?
Sure.
And the ones it has attracted have had some real star power. John Travolta in the 70s, 80s, and Tom Cruise, 80s, 90s, and today, right? Mm-hmm. Those are the guys who really carry the weight. The rest of them are pretty much, you know, C-list, D-list actors, actresses. I mean, Nancy Cartwright, the voice of Bart Simpson, is not the one leading the charge for Scientology, right? Jenna
She's
Elfman
a
is kind of like
Scientologist? Jenna, oh, man.
Yeah. She's a Scientologist. Wow. So you didn't even know that.
No, right? I didn't know that. You know, I know who that is, though. I mean, that's, yeah.
Yeah. Who, do you know who Jenna Elfman is?
Yeah.
Okay. So she's a Scientologist, right?
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, one or two. She did Dharma and Greg. That's about her claim to fame, right?
Right, yeah.
Kirstie Alley is, I mean, Jesus, who knows what she's going to do next. So there were only ones who were really popular, John Travolta and Tom Cruise.
Right,
and,
right.
And in the end, you know, what I say about the celebrities is that they're people too. And they have the same insecurities and the same problems and the same issues with life that anybody else has. And if you're human, you can be, you know, fooled, right?
Of course.
You know, you can fall for pseudoscience. You can fall for, you know, illogical thinking. You can fall for this stuff. And they do just like everybody else. The problem with a celebrity, of course, and the reason why Scientology caters to celebrities is because other people listen to them. And, you know, should they? Not really.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's the same with the anti-vax movement. Yeah.
Yeah. Tom Cruise doesn't have any special insight into life and living this. He's Tom Cruise. You know, he just happens to have been in some good movies. So that doesn't make him, you know, any kind of guru figure. And unfortunately, the nature of celebrity is that people follow them. So people listen to what they have to say.
Are they given special treatment in Scientology?
Oh, my God. Beyond.
I was going to say there's no way they would, you know, go for all this work 24/7 for, you know, all that.
Oh,
kind of
no, 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 no. They don't see any of that.
Right.
No. They don't. None of that is exposed to them. They don't. No, not at all. Not at all. They are red carpeted and they're given the royalty treatment. They get special handlers assigned to them. They have.
So do you think they're just seeing a certain, you know, very bright picture of Scientology and not really even getting too much into?
Yes, a lot of work on the part of a lot of Sea Organization members is done to make sure that they never see anything but the bright side.
Interesting.
Now, the thing that this new documentary calls out Tom Cruise and John Travolta on is there have been instances, especially with Tom Cruise, where he is seen behind the curtain and he has not personal intimate knowledge of abuses. And with Tom Cruise specifically, times when he has even participated in those abuses.
Oh.
And that is why they're being called out specifically, because they don't get a pass that they didn't know, because they do know. And that is not really very cool.
Yeah, I haven't seen the documentary. Is it available widely yet? Or I know it was at one of the film festivals. Do you know much about it?
It's showing in New York, Los Angeles, and San Francisco right now.
Okay.
It'll be in theaters for a week or two in those locations only. And then it will be on HBO starting March 29th.
Now, I just saw on, I think it was on my Twitter feed or something on the other day, either Facebook or Twitter. I can't remember. It was an advertisement, and it was, well, it wasn't really an advertisement. It was a sponsored post that was seemed to be trying to take down the character of whoever was behind the HBO movie. It's really interesting. It was like there's a picture of a battered woman saying he was responsible for that. Do you know anything about that? I mean, is that just tactics by the church? Is that what's going on there?
Yeah. Yes. The Church of Scientology does not, how do they put this, is not a turn the other cheek religion.
Yeah. Yeah.
They are doing, oh God, I could just go on at a long time on this. The Church of Scientology does not understand PR. They do not understand positive PR. They don't understand how to deal with criticism. And so their only answer, according to the policies of L. Ron Hubbard, are to attack, never defend.
Right.
And so when they are faced with criticism, they don't know how to deal with it. They don't know how to go, wow, maybe you have a point there. They certainly never, ever will acknowledge that they've done something wrong. Instead, they attack whoever it is that they feel is attacking them.
Well, and that stuff works, unfortunately. I mean, I think that works for a certain percentage of people.
A very small percentage of people. And fortunately, what's happening right now is with this documentary, they're doing exactly what the documentary says they do. And all they're doing with all of this negative promotion that they're doing against the people who are in the documentary is, one, confirming what's in the documentary itself, and two, promoting the documentary.
Yeah.
Because they keep talking about the documentary. And, you know, HBO and the film's maker, Alex Gibney, the director and writer of the film, could not be happier about all the free promotion that they're getting from the Church of Scientology right now. Because they don't give a shit about these stupid videos that the church has produced, which are full of lies about each of the people who are in the film. Who else does that? What other religious organization or group? Okay, when Alex Gibney put out Mea Culpa, what did the Catholic Church do?
I don't know.
Did the Catholic Church make a video about what an awful person Alex Gibney was and how his dad was a liar and therefore he must be a liar? No, the Catholic Church didn't do anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely different characteristics because they can rely on a wider base of belief and they know that they have one, whatever it is, 1.5 billion, I think it's at least a billion Catholics worldwide, and they don't need to rely on that. But it's, I guess, when you have a church that's very clearly BS to any, you know, bystander and very few members, I guess you have to rely on strong arm tactics or something. I mean, they can't, I think they can't just brush these things off because their membership is so small that any threat is going to be a big threat to their finances, right?
Well, basically what you're saying is absolutely true. And they not only, they could brush it off. And in fact, if they took the higher road, they actually would become a bigger church that they so
you think so
want to become.
Hmm.
Oh, sure.
Well, you don't
because
think the weirdness
have more
is
respect.
Okay.
But have more, it's a debatable point, but sure. The Church of Scientology doesn't have to be in the position that it's in right now. Unfortunately, Hubbard was such a paranoid nutcase that he wrote policies that the organization is forced to operate on.
Wow.
Which demand that the organization as a whole act like a vengeful 12-year-old bully every time somebody says something bad about the church. It is impossible for the Church of Scientology to simply allow somebody to have a viewpoint counter to theirs. They can't deal with it. And because they have actual criminal activities going on within that organization, and because they've actually committed crimes, they are fearful of being found out. And that is what is behind their wild animal reactions. And the funny thing is that everything I just said is what they accuse people who attack the church of.
Yeah.
And it's just the most ironic thing I think I've ever seen.
It's like playground tactics or something. I mean,
it is. Yeah. And it actually gets more dangerous than that because they've actually engaged in physical assaults, stalking and harassment, mail fraud, computer fraud, ruined people's lives by getting them fired from their jobs, ruining relationships. These people go to extremes that are a little hard to believe somebody would go to in order to silence criticism.
Are you fearful at all?
This is documented. I fortunately have not had this happen to me. I was fully prepared for it, and every single day I am fully prepared for it. But so far, I've been a small enough voice that they've had bigger fish.
I was going to say, that's good and bad. Maybe you're doing something wrong.
Only in that I've only got 2,000 people subscribed to my YouTube channel so far. So
well, hopefully
I guess
we
I'm
can
not
build that
fish yet. Right?
Do you want to plug it? What's your channel?
Oh, Chris Shelton.
Chris Shelton, everybody. Search
yeah,
Chris
my
Shelton.
YouTube channel is Chris Shelton, the critical thinker at large. And my blog is mncriticalthinking.com, all one word, mncriticalthinking.com. And that's the critical thinker at large. And all of my videos and written articles on my blog, I talk about, you know, critical thinking as well as Scientology. I'm not the ex-Scientologist at large.
Right.
You know, I do like the subject of critical thinking, but Scientology seems to be something that people want me to talk about. So
well, and it seems like it's a big, you know, driving force in your life to kind of try to bring these people to some sort of justice eventually, it seems like. Unless I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it seems like that was a big driver for you.
No, it's a thing. I definitely have a thing on it. I think this documentary that's coming out is going to do wonders for that, you know, in terms of exposing a lot of what's going on, what has gone on with this organization, what it's done to people, what it does to their lives. It's not my life's work to bring down the Church of Scientology. At this point, my life's work is to actually live my life.
Yeah.
And be under the thumb of Scientology.
Well, you've missed out on a lot of it. I mean, you missed so many years of being able to live kind of a free life, you know?
Exactly. So I don't want to become a prisoner of Scientology on the other end.
Yeah.
And I've started my own business.
I was going to ask, I mean, we could go on forever. I really could, but I just wanted to try to tie it up by asking on a personal level, how you got through it. Are you've gotten through it? Okay. You've recovered. I mean, I was just thinking financially, how do you go from, you know, the church is your livelihood basically to nothing? Not to mention with all the trauma of leaving the church and becoming disillusioned, having to fight through that to earn a living or to, you know, so how have you come through that?
Well, I've been blessed with, you know, my family and I'm able to, you know, make new friends, which I've done. I've also gone through what we call the decompression process quicker than most. There's various reasons for that, but I know I'm nobody special really, but I did have a unique experience in Scientology, and I got some space and some air from it and whatnot, and I discovered critical thinking, and that did a lot for me in terms of being able to get my head straight on some of the more insidious Hubbard installed mechanisms and whatnot that have come with being a Scientologist. I got to, the critical thinking really helped me a lot to bust out of that stuff.
Sure.
So I've developed skills. I started a YouTube channel. I started a blog because I am a writer and I always have been.
Oh, good.
And I had things I wanted to write. And truthfully, a lot of the articles and stuff that I wrote to start with were part of my decompression. They were part of getting it out of me and being able to talk about it. And I guess talk about it with everybody, because I posted it.
Are those still available on your blog, mncriticalthinking.com?
Yeah, it's all on my blog. And mncriticalthinking.com. So then then what happened was I started writing some articles that were too big for a blog. you know, they were just huge. And I started breaking down what I felt was actually wrong with Scientology and how it was, what was wrong with it organizationally. And so that's what got me started on making videos, because I realized if I made a video, I could communicate this faster and easier for people to, you know, to mm-hmm. understand.
Yeah.
And so I taught myself how to make videos, and I started making videos. And in doing that YouTube channel, I've developed skills as a graphic designer and videographer and editor. And that's now what I do for a living.
Wow, that is so cool.
Yeah, and I started my own business doing that.
That is really neat. I'm really happy to hear that.
Yeah, so I'm pleased as punch about that, because it's creative work. I'm a creative person. I've always enjoyed creating. I did a lot of graphics works and copywriting and marketing work when I was in the church. And now I'm using all those skills outside for myself.
Well, that is so neat.
Yeah. So I'm moved on, as far as, you know, I'm not hung up on it mentally. I'm not hung up on it spiritually. I don't feel a victim of Scientology. I feel like I had an experience that was unfortunate, that I don't want other people to have, that I feel that this is a group that is not doing what it says it's doing. It's not representing itself accurately in any way. And if I can do anything in my spare time to, you know, contribute to ridding the world of that evil, well, I'm happy to do that, you know, but I'm not ever going to be in a place where that's going to be my life's work, or that's something that I feel I owe people or something. Cause I've gone back and I've contacted people that I wronged, and I've apologized, and I've done what I feel I needed to do to make up for that. And if there's anybody out there that, you know, still feels like I wronged them in some way that I've, you know, haven't remembered or something, they certainly can reach out to me, and I'll be more than happy to have a conversation about it.
What do you mean by that? Do you mean wronged in that you brought them into the church, or wronged in what way? What do you concern?
Yeah, in that, you know, there were people that I treated badly when I was in the church. You know, it's an abusive organization.
And
there were a couple people that I looked back on and I went, you know, I treated that guy really badly. Okay. And I'm not talking about beating on people, because I never did that. There are people
henchmen.
And that happened to me, actually.
Wow.
There was an individual who's still in the church who beat up on me, but I never got that low. I never did that. But that doesn't mean that I didn't do some things that were wrong, and I'm willing to acknowledge that and willing to apologize for that when that comes up, you know. And I've reached out to those people, like I said, and done that. And my effort is really just to help as much as I can in any way that I can. So.
Right. So you're not, it's not, you're, that, that's very healthy. So you're not obsessing over it. I like the phrase you used, where you don't want to become a victim a second time, essentially by, but you do, it did sound like there is ongoing effort, you know, a little while ago to try to get rid of their exemption, tax exemption. Is that an effort you're still working on?
Yeah, there's work being done on that, and I'm contributing to that.
Okay, that's neat. So you excellent. So I'm glad to hear that things do seem to be going very well, and you got through it okay. So much time has passed. I could really ask a million more questions, but I'm gonna let you go here.
No problem, man.
And I just want to say thank you so much for coming on and going through your story like that and taking us through the history of the church and everything. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure being here. Thank you so much for doing this.
No problem. I also want to thank Travis for referring me to you. Thanks, Travis. And please subscribe to Chris's YouTube and check out his blog and all that. Support Chris.
Yeah,
best of luck to you going forward.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.